thing, the main thing, thanking God for Jesus Christ, thanking God for the Holy Spirit, thanking God for his angels, thanking God for the church, thanking God for this congregation, thanking God for this morning that he gave us. Amen. Amen. Didn't have to do it, but he did. And we're here because of him, and we're here because I hope and believe that we want to be here to worship him in spirit and in truth. We thank God for the elders and the leaders of this congregation. We thank God for this congregation, that you all be blessed by this lesson today. May God bless our ears of hearing, hearts of receiving, and our wills to obey. This morning, our lesson is coming from the book of Proverbs, the 18th chapter, verse 13. Proverbs, the 18th chapter, verses 13. And it reads, "He that answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and a shame unto him." My subject this morning, seek both sides of the matter before you come to a conclusion. The proverb teaches that giving an answer before hearing all the facts or understanding the complete situation is foolish and shameful. It emphasizes the importance of listening attentively and seeking to understand before speaking or forming a judgment. The proverb highlights the negative consequences of speaking without listening. It implies that such behavior is not only unwise, but it also brings shame and disgrace. It underscores the value of careful listening and understanding before responding. This is crucial for making sound judgment, avoiding misunderstanding, and maintaining good relationships. The proverb contrasts foolishness with wisdom. Wisdom, as presented in Proverbs, involves thoughtful consideration and understanding before taking actions. The verse encourages active listeners to be actively patient and to seek the understanding of all aspects of a situation before offering a response. It's a reminder that rushing to judgment or speaking without knowledge is detrimental. Some have said there was a reason why God gave two ears and one mouth. It suggests that we should dedicate more time in hearing what others have to say, other than to express our own views of what another person has said. Slow to speak, slow to wrath, but quick to hear and understand what you hear. Faith come by hearing, the Bible teaches us. For those who have an ear, let him hear, the Bible teaches us. Let us look at the Bible, examples of hearing the matter. In 2 Samuel chapter 16, verses 1 through 4, it tells us about a man called Mephibosheth. That's hard to say three times. But when David was fleeing from Absalom, Ziba, Mephibosheth's servants, falsely accused Mephibosheth of betraying David and siding with Absalom. Without hearing Mephibosheth's side of the story, David grants Ziba all of Mephibosheth's possessions. Later, when David returned to Jerusalem and Mephibosheth explained his situation, David realized his error and tried to correct it, but the damage was done. You see, sometimes we're quick to, to answer a question or answer a situation without hearing the whole thing. It's just like if me and McLaughlin is best friends, if we're best friends, and he come and tell me something about Jerry, you know, what usually happens, I believe what he says. Are you with me? I just jump on it, and I believe what he says. Are you with me? And then, and Jerry just as innocent as he could be. But you know, I just believe what you says, and that's not good. This the book is saying, seek both sides of the matter before you come to a conclusion, because sometimes you could draw the wrong conclusion, especially people who are close to us. Amen. We just up and believe it. In Genesis, the book of Genesis, the 39th chapter, we read about Joseph. You know the story of Joseph. Joseph was betrayed by his brother. He was sold into slavery, and then some people sold him to Potiphar, and he became a main man in Potiphar's house. As a matter of fact, Potiphar found favor in Joseph. He found so much favor till he opened doors for Joseph in his house. He said, you could do anything you want to do. You're over all of this except my wife. Don't you touch my wife. So he knew this, right? And it says that Potiphar saw Christ, saw God work in Joseph. That's important. That's important. Listen to this. He saw God's work in Joseph, especially in his house, because his house was being blessed by Joseph. So he saw God in Joseph. Are you with me? Now, remember that he saw God in Joseph. Okay, let's go from verse 12. 39 and verse 12. Let's see what it says. Verse 11. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And Potiphar's wife, she caught him saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand, and he fled. Now, we understand that Joseph was a good-looking boy. Are you with me? And Potiphar wasn't home, and this woman, we don't know her name, but she, every day she would look at this good-looking boy, and she couldn't take it no more. You know it happens. You girls, you know how it is with us handsome men. You know how it is, you know? You just couldn't take it no more. Just couldn't take it no more. She wanted that boy. And she did everything over and over to get him. But Joseph, Joseph said, "I can't do this to God. I can't do this to you. And then I definitely can't do this to God, because God is the one who's blessing me. He's allowing me to be who I am and do what I do. So I can't do this, Miss Potiphar. I can't do this." But she insisted. And she insisted, verse 14, and she caught, and verse 13, and it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment, when she grabbed him in her hand, and he fled, he ran. That she called unto the men of the house and spake unto them, saying, "See, he hath brought in a Hebrew, and unto us mockers. He came in and unto me, and lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice." Now she's lying. Are you with me? The man just wanted to do his work. Are you with me? That's all he wanted to do, was his job. But she saw this good-looking boy, and she's just got to have him. Are you with me? Got a rich man, Potiphar. Potiphar was a main man in Pharaoh's army. He was a main man, right? But she wasn't satisfied with Potiphar and what he got. She wanted that young boy, that handsome young boy. Amen. That's what she wanted. And the story goes on to say that she lied to the people who were there. And it said that her husband found out. Are you with me? In verse 19, it said, "It came to pass when his master heard of what had his wife, the words of his wife, he spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me that is wrath was kindled. Okay, in other words, Potiphar had an opportunity to pull David aside, pull Joseph aside and say, Joseph, tell me what's going on. Are you with me? Let me know what's happening. What's going on, Joseph, till my wife is in a situation like this, right? He had an opportunity to do this, but he didn't. He just believed what his wife said. Are you with me? Now let's go back. Now, Potiphar saw God through Joseph. Are you with me? But now, Potiphar see the circumstance and not see God. Are you with me? So his judgment was this, that you did it. You had no right to do it. I gave you everything you needed, right? And you turned to my wife. Are you with me? And Joseph, he it's like he just let it happen. We don't see that. He didn't have an opportunity to explain to the Potiphar. And it said that Potiphar threw him in jail. Are you with me? And he'd done nothing. You see, but Potiphar, we see this example that this is another one who didn't seek both sides of the matter before he came to a conclusion. Are you with me? And we have to, these days, we have to be careful that we don't do the same thing. Are you with me? Because the Bible says, judge not that ye be not judged. In other words, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. If you don't want nobody to tell a lie on you and judge you, are you with me? So don't tell a lie on nobody else and judge them like that. Amen? In Kings, in 1 Kings, we have another example. And this is a good example. You know the story of Solomon. Are you with me? King Solomon. He was wise. And Solomon, we read about him being a young boy. He was young. And he said, God, I don't know how to do this. Are you with me? I'm young. God said, yo, you just do it. I'm with you. Are you with me? I will bless you with what you need. What do you need? Solomon said, just give me wisdom to judge my people. If that was us, we would ask for everything. I want a Cadillac. I want a Rolls Royce, jet, everything, money, everything. But he just asked for wisdom to judge his people. And then God says, the good thing about it, he said that because you didn't ask for these things, are you with me? He didn't ask for a long life or riches. Are you with me? For me to destroy your enemy, but you ask for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy word. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like him before thee, neither there after thee. Verse 13, and I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honors, so that there shall not be anyone among you in the kingdom richer than you. You see, Solomon, he started out right. He was a young boy. He started out right. He said, I don't know, but, you know, he said, but, you know, it's so many people, it's so many Jews, right? I can't even number them. It's so many. And he said, I need wisdom to judge these people correctly, because I don't want to judge them falsely in your sight. Are you with me? I don't want nobody to come and tell me that such and such did such and such, and I'm just going to jump and believe it. I want to be able to judge this. And sure enough, God gave him an example. Are you with me? God brought to him a situation. Verse 16, the book says, there came two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. And the one woman said, O my Lord, and I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also, and we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. She rolled over on the baby and died. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while thine handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I bare. And the other woman said, nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, no, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. They was back and forth. Verse 23, then said the king, this is my son that liveth, and the son of the dead is hers, so forth and so on. Verse 24, and the king said, bring me a sword. Are you with me? He didn't take sides with none of them. Are you with me? Because one lady, she was in tears and said, this is my child. And the other probably was in tears and said, this is mine. So now, it's like between a rock and a hard place. Who are you going to believe? But the wisdom came forth. Are you with me? Solomon said, give me a sword. He said, let's divide the baby. Cut him in half. Are you with me? And we'll settle this thing 50-50. Are you with me? You take half of the baby, you take half. But not so. It said that the woman whose the baby was, she said, let the other woman take it. Right? I just let it, don't kill my baby. Just let her have it. The other woman said, kill the baby. Just get it over with. And then Solomon's wisdom kicked in and said, the woman who said, give the baby to the other person, that's the woman you give the baby to. Are you with me? You see that wisdom? You see, he didn't take sides. Are you with me? Because one woman might, she might cry more than the other. And you know how us men, we get when our wife cry or whatever, we want to just give them what they want so they can stop crying. Are you with me? And if that ain't enough, I'm going to give you more. Are you with me? But Solomon didn't see it like that. His wisdom kicked in. The God's blessing kicked in with him. And this is an example for us today. Are you with me? That we don't rush to judge. Are you with me? The Bible teaches about, it says, even a fool is wise when he don't judge a matter quickly. Are you with me? Even a fool. Are you with me? So we ought to be that type of people, if we're not already, that type of people who don't judge a matter just because it's our friend, it's our family, it's my wife or my husband. Are you with me? Be right about it. Because how you judge, remember, you might just be judged like that. And you don't want nobody to say that you're guilty when you know you're innocent. Are you with me? So you ought not do that to nobody else either. Amen. I hope I'm getting to somebody. Are you with me? It's not everybody. Seek both sides of the matter. Scriptures in the book that will help us in this matter. Proverbs 15:28. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer or think before they answer. You see, it's good to hear. And hearing is very important. Are you with me? The Bible teaches us, it says faith come by hearing. Are you with me? The Bible teaches us that those who have an ear, let them hear. Are you with me? We could listen to things and not hear, Are you with me? We could listen but not hear. But when you hear, you kind of get an understanding of what you heard. Are you with me? It's just like looking at something, all right, thinking that it tastes good, but until you taste it, then you'll know. You see? So this is what the scripture said: the heart of the righteous studieth to answer or think before they answer. Proverbs 29 and 20, the New Living Translation says, there is more hope for a fool than for someone who speaks without thinking. Proverbs 18:17 NIV says, the first to present his case seems right till another comes forward and question him. That's very important. That runs us to a court situation. It's just like if you're in court and you're one of the jurors, the jurors, right? And this person, the either one of them get up first. You know, the attorneys are the, but anyway, he gets up and he says, this man is right. And he gives everything about this man. And it sounds good. And one could say, what I'm hearing, this man, in no way in the world he could be guilty. There's no way he could be guilty because what was said. But what happens is the defense or the other gets up and says his side. Are you with me? And then when you hear both sides, that's when you come to a conclusion. Because sometimes when we hear, just like I love my wife, I love her dearly, but if she come to me and said that Jerry stole $1 million from her, first of all, I know she ain't telling the truth. You know, right? Are you with me? I know she ain't telling, because we ain't got $1 million. All right, but I said, well, honey, listen, you know, are you sure about this? This is how it's supposed to be. Now, I'm showing you how it's supposed to be. You know, honey, you know, are you sure about this? Yes, I'm sure. He took it from out of my hands. Right? I said, Jerry, I need to speak with you. Right? I don't go to him with a pistol or knife or nothing, right? I said, Jerry, I need to speak with you. I said, my wife said you took $1 million from her. Ken, I don't know nothing about it. Are you with me? I'm hearing both sides of the matter. He's explaining, says, you know, no, I didn't do such and such and such and such and such and such. I'm hearing both sides of the matter. Are you with me? Both sides. And then, you know, and then I come to a conclusion. I go back to my wife. I says, tell me the truth. I was just mad at Jerry. You know, so, you know, we're going to be all right now, right, honey? You know, but that's how it is. That's how it is. This is, like I said, the first to present his case seemed right until another comes forward with his side. You see, hearing both sides of the matter before you come to a conclusion is very, very important in this lifetime. Are you with me? Because you could hear people, you know, you could hear a group of people speaking against somebody, just like they spoke against Jesus. And see, with Jesus, the more the crowd gathered, the more people it was. And because it was a crowd of people speaking against Jesus, it must have been right what they were saying. Are you with me? It must have been right what they were saying. Pilate had an opportunity to see both sides. He even asked Jesus. He said, Jesus, he said, you know, tell me, you know. And for a time, Jesus didn't say nothing. And then, you know, Pilate said something like this. He said, don't you know I could get you off? I'm the man. Jesus said, no, you're not. He said, you ain't doing nothing but what my father letting you do. Are you with me? Yes, that's all you're doing. But seeing both sides of the matter. Matthew 7:1 says, judge not that ye be not judged. That's very important. Once again, if you don't have evidence, be careful how you judge folks. Now, we're going to judge people sooner or later. You know, we're going to have to because we live in this world. And if the elders do something, you may have a judge against them. If I do something, you may have, you know, questions or whatever, right? If anybody, right, you may have to come to this, but do it God's way. Are you with me? Don't say I'm wrong because I'm from the other side of the track. Are you with me? Ain't nobody from that side of the track is good or right. Everybody on this side of the track is right. Are you with me? I know he got to be wrong because, no, not necessarily. Acts 17:11, the Bereans heard, but they searched the scriptures. That's important. Are you with me? They just didn't hear what was preached to them. Are you with me? They heard it. They heard it. Plus, then they went back and see what was said was so. James 19:1-19, be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. You see, sometimes we speak before we think. That's not good. It's not good at all. Know what you're talking about, because God, the Bible teaches us one thing about spreading discord. It says God hates that. And sometimes we could spread discord. I begin the discord. I give it to Brother McLaughlin. He said what I said, and it goes on, and it's all a lie. It's all an untruth. It's a bad misunderstanding going out there. And one of the things we don't want to do is have a bad misunderstanding of a situation or ourselves going out there. Amen. In closing, we are to be actively listening, paying close attention to what others are saying before formulating a response. Patiently taking the time to hear all sides of the situation before making a judgment. Desiring to understand, seeking to grasp the full context of a situation rather than simply offering a quick opinion. For kindness and wisdom's sake, we should give ourselves to actively listening to others to hear, to focus on what they are saying, and seek to understand it and give them the help that is needed. But if we don't hear it, we don't understand it, we'll give something else, you know, something else that they don't need. But to hear a matter and give judgment after the matter is very important. It's very important. Because if we tell it wrong, we're going to spread stuff all over the church, all over the Christian nations. We're going to spread stuff. Are you with me? And God don't want us to spread discord. He don't want us to spread separation. He wants us to spread come together. Are you with me? If you're not sure what a person says, go to the person. And we all should be able to accept our brothers and our sisters. Are you with me? You know, the Bible teaches this. It says, if you have aught with your brother, go to him. Are you with me? And find out what you ought to know. It didn't say write a letter to that brother. Are you with me? It says go to him. Amen? Go to him, go to her. And that brother ought to be able to accept you and listen to hear. Are you with me? Listen to hear why do you feel this way or whatever, right? He would know now why. And he can express himself. It don't have to be in an argument. It don't have to be in I'm going to shoot you down. Are you with me? It should be out of love. Because I ought to know what my brother was going on. Are you with me? I'm ought to know why he said that, why she said that, why she did that, why he did that. You know, I'm ought to know. Go to your brother. Go to your brother in love. Go to your sister in love. In love. Not write a letter, but go to your sister and your brother in love. If you are here and you're not a member of the church, there are steps that you must take to become a member of the church according to the Bible. You must hear God's word. What is God's word? That Jesus came from heaven, born. He was born of a virgin in the flesh. He took on flesh for us. He taught, suffered, and died for us. He was cruelly hung on a cross. On the third day, he rose with all powers in his hands. That's what we heard. That's what we must believe. We hear that and we believe that. And the next step, we repent of our ways. We said, you know, well, since I heard this, I'm going to turn things around. I want to do better. I want to do better. I want to turn things around. And this way I was going, I don't want to just stop going that way. I want to turn around and come back God's way. After that, confess with your mouth. All these things are a must. You can't get around. Confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Be baptized in water for remission of sin. After that, stay faithful in God's grace. Come to worship. You must. You must give. You must. You must. You must. You must. You must teach. You must be able to learn. It's a lot of musts. I can stay up here for a long period of time, but I know you're hungry, and I won't do that. But anyway, it's a must that you must do. You must. You must. But above all the musts, and you can jump to the very end of the must, it's love. You must love. If you ain't got love, you ain't got it going on. You can act like you love or fool somebody. Are you with me? But it ain't love. Jesus is watching. And you know, one day he said that people like that go come to my face and says, Lord, I don't know who you are. How do you know me now, all of a sudden? Now you know me? That's what he's going to say. If you're here and you are a member of the church, you are in need of prayer. You can ask for prayers at this time as we together stand and sing the song that was appointed.